welcome to the Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Malou. I'm joined finally by producer and co-host Alex Wong, off 2 days of rest. Alex, what's going on, man? I'm expecting a Kawhi-level performance after all this load management.
No, go check NBA.com/stats or cleaning the glass. When I take 2 days off, the per 36 numbers, it's like Wilt Chamberlain in HD, man.
Wow.
It's like you at the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament. Four buckets in 1 hour.
Wow.
Anyways, we've got the interview of the century with Yuta Watanabe coming up at the start of segment two around 2:30 p.m. This is like growing up when I used to watch like WWF Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Or Jerry Springer. They would tease a big segment, but then make you sit for like half an hour and wait. So sorry to everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to wait.
It's going to be on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, so.
But the same episode. This, just the second half of this episode. Yeah.
I am the filler. Sorry, by the way, to Savannah Hamilton, who we had booked for today.
Unbelievable.
We had to bump for Yuta Watanabe. And I forgot to tell her after practice yesterday that we did land Yuta. So Savannah texted me this morning and said, I found out I was waived via Twitter.
Oh.
So apologies to Savannah.
That is really tough.
Yeah, if Savannah never comes on the show again, you'll know why.
That's really tough because I was listening to your weekend show. Savannah was great in that one. So
powered by DoorDash.
Yeah.
We're powered by DoorDash 7 days a week.
Actually, though.
Yeah.
So I rarely
Since I used my whole credit in one day, but we won't talk about that one.
It's all good, man. You're ordering three passes like you said in the promo.
Anyways, we're dusting off the voicemail as well in December. I want you all to call us 416-413-4141 and let us know holiday gift ideas that, you know, Will and myself could give each other or to our producer Derek, and also holiday gift ideas for Raptors players. We'll collect them throughout the month, and around Christmas we'll play the best ones. How about this, Will? The best voicemail we get, the best gift idea, they'll get a Christmas gift from us, from the Raptor Show.
Wow. You heard it first. You're getting a free copy of Cover Story in the mail.
Yeah, it might be signed. You might have to pay for shipping. Let me see.
Oh, you got to pay for shipping.
Let me see if I'm using Canada Post. I think they're free on Tuesdays. We'll figure that out. Chit Chat is pretty good, too, as well, on Tuesdays. So you'll get the book, but you might have to pay for shipping.
No,
but again,
you're getting a phone call from DHL Express where they say they only are speaking Chinese. And you might think it's a scam, but it's actually just them telling you your package is
available. Might think it's Will Liu with a surprise personalized call, but I'll let you know right now. It's a telemarketer. But 416-413-4141. Please leave us a voicemail. Will is the voicemail greeting. So even if you don't want to leave a voicemail, you can call and just listen to his voice for 11 seconds. Speaking of dark, the Raptors continue their 7-game homestand tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, looking to improve on their 2-8 home record. Mm-hmm. They are 0-2 on this current homestand. They are on a 3-game losing streak. They are 3-10 in their last 13. You know what the Raptors need right now? To play the Milwaukee Bucks, who are on an 8-game win streak.
Great.
They're 14-8 on the season. They're getting healthier. Per Ty Windish, who covers the Milwaukee Bucks, when Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday have played this season, Milwaukee is 10-0. And in those 150 minutes those three have been on the floor together, this is the only stat I'm ever giving on this show, they have outscored opponents by 79 points.
Wow.
In 150 minutes. Having said all that, I told you before we went on air, I'm guaranteeing a Raptors win tonight.
Yeah, okay. So what is the basis of the guarantee?
You know, all my guarantees have absolutely no basis.
Right.
Just feel like the Raptors have been down bad. They have had all these poor performances and they're 2-8 at home. And I heard Pascal talking about how this is just unacceptable for the fans. I know they're still injured. OG and Kem are out tonight. Gary is questionable. Delano Banton and Isaac Bonga have been assigned to the 905, so...
They'll come back, though. They just went down for practice.
Okay, so they'll be back, which, you know, those two...
They'll be sharp after practice.
Those two will be the difference makers.
We'll see Bonga versus Giannis.
All I want to see is the Raptors give the home fans an inspiring performance, an upset win, win a game that they shouldn't win. So I'm guaranteeing it. Put me on freezing cold takes tomorrow. If they lose, I will release another 16 bars from the Popeyes freestyle.
You know what?
So fireworks.
I guess, yeah. There would be no losers in that sense then. Because I think people are looking forward to seeing this thing bit by bit, you know?
I don't think there will be any winners, actually.
No. I will be a winner.
I got three guarantees this year, so I'm using one tonight. They're going to upset the Milwaukee Bucks. The defending champions, by the way.
Yeah, the people just forget that. I mean, you know.
This is the battle of the last two Eastern Conference teams to win the NBA championship.
Wow, what a way to sell it, man. What a way to sell it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think obviously this would be a signature win if the Raptors could get it. But I think right now they're just so banged up. I think you need some of your size and your shooting to win some games. And not just against the Bucks, but even against Memphis, for example. Ideally, you would have OG for a game like this. Ideally, you have Kem for a game like this. You just need to put as many big bodies as possible between Giannis and the basket, as you know from that's how the Raptors beat them twice, by the way, in the playoffs. And I'm skeptical on that front. But, however, how would you guard Giannis? Because you actually do have a roster of guys who are, like, really tall, really long. And, you know, there's a couple of options. We've seen Pascal guard Giannis in the past. Based on how he's performed defensively, yeah, you're already shaking your head. Okay, you're saying no to that. That's fine. I get you, man. I'm not trying to see Pascal in foul trouble anyways, because you're going to need as much scoring as possible to you know, just even keep pace with the game. Can't afford Pascal in the foul trouble like he did against Memphis. You have Scotty.
I want to see Scotty on Giannis.
You want to see Scotty on Giannis?
Just for fun.
I think Nick will probably do it too. Just to be like, Scotty, this is going to be you in 5 years. Just you know, study up close. You know, that's like, you know, when Asian parents, like when you're in grade 8, they hand you a calculus textbook and they're just like, hey, do some of these questions. Like, hey, maybe do a little bit of integration here, you know, and then they'll be like, oh, you couldn't do it? Well, don't worry. That's what you're going to be doing in 5 years. So they get you started early. That's what Nick's going to be doing to Scotty Barnes tonight.
Well, the other day when Nick benched him after 94 seconds, that was him saying, you know, no extracurriculars, no Xbox for you.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think I've ever told you the story, but one time my dad got so mad at me. He threw my Game Boy Advance SP out the window, and we lived on the 12th floor of the apartment.
Wait, hold on. What did you do?
I think I was just playing too much Game Boy.
Wait, he threw it out the window?
Yeah, he fully ripped it from my hands and threw it out the window.
So it was just gone?
No. So the thing was, I was obviously devastated. My grandma went downstairs and actually picked it out from, like, the soil or whatever that it landed in, luckily. And so it no longer worked, like, without the actual, like, charger plugged in. But it did still work with the charger plugged in. So there were no real losers in that one. Just like how if the Raptors lose tomorrow, you still get 16 bars.
They're only losers tomorrow. Wow. Yeah, my dad once got so mad at me. He didn't talk to me for 6 months.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's when I switched careers to sports.
Oh, you were an adult back then.
Oh, okay, right. I was like 27 at the time. Anyways, that's enough personal stories. So we were at practice yesterday to land the interview of the century between you and Utah Watanabe coming up.
That's correct.
At 2:30 p.m. Nobody teases interviews like us. I was telling you, next week when we interview Isaac Bonga, I'm still dropping the interview with the century tag.
Yeah, actually, you know what? To this voicemail, 416-413-4141, if you have Isaac Bonga questions, please leave them there just to help us out.
Please don't. I don't want to have to sift through those.
And be like, what was your experience playing in Germany?
So we got two stories. Tales from Raptors practice with Alex and Will.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, yes.
So I'm going to hand this over to you. First story is related to Nick Nurse and the pill, but I think you should explain to listeners what the pill is.
So first off, if you want a visual representation of this, you can just search up Nick Nurse the pill. It's actually available for purchase on his foundation website. But Nick used to be a shooting coach and, like, you know, not to even just put down people who are coaches that aren't like NBA coaches, but obviously it was a much more humble setting than what it was today. Like, I remember reading his biography, and the description was that he would, like, go around in parking lots and leave flyers on, people's windshields for, like, you know, I guess AAU tournaments or games, advertising himself as a shooting coach. And one of the things that he was offering, well, two things actually, which by the way, both things you can purchase. One, you can purchase his little shooting book, which I actually did. It's actually very useful.
And by the way, Will references his shooting book like every time we are at practice or before the game watching guys warm up.
Well, I mean, first off, it's useful to that book just because I think it's like a useful like tool to help you like get better at a sport. But I think the other thing is just for me as a reporter, it's useful to understand where Nick is coming from. Some of the instructions that he has in that book are probably the same things that he's passing on to his players. And this was confirmed because the other part of what he used to do was he would have a Nick Nurse pill, which is essentially just a regular basketball. But, you know, and you know how there's like, you know, three lines, I guess, that, you know, go across the circumference of the ball. You're imagining a fourth line, except that that one bisects all the other ones. And I'm sounding like this is like grade 10 like geometry, but like, yeah, it just, it goes on the other side of the ball. And the goal of this ball is so that you can line up your shot. You're supposed to be able to put the middle of the ball, that new line, in between your pointer finger and your middle finger, and you're supposed to be able to shoot with that little triangle. And with that extra line, you get to see the flight of the ball to see if you're either leaning left or right, right? Because you want an ideal flight pattern with the ball. So Nick actually had it, one of these, like, Nick Nurse pills at the arena when we were waiting to talk to Yuta the other day at practice. And he came over to Isak Bongo, who was warming up in front of us, and he was just doing form shooting, just like really short 3-foot jumpers, like over and over and over again to make a lot of those, which is another thing that's in his book. And he brought over the Nick Nurse pill, and he's like, hey, use this, you know, and he gave him the instructions of how to do it. And then, the ball's a little bit flat, but yeah, he was literally giving Isak Bongo the Nick Nurse pill. So if Bongo starts to shoot like me in like a year, then you'll know it's because of Nick.
Yeah, so for my fellow degenerate gamblers out there, look for that Bonga over under 3-pointers tonight line. And if it's at 0.5...
it's at 0.5.
I would rearrange some mortgage payments and drop like a 4-figure bet on that.
Yeah.
And if you lose, feel free to call in tomorrow and blame Will or leave us a voicemail.
Well, I mean, look, I just thought this was very cool. I didn't know Nick was still using some of these methods.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was probably teaching like kids this, like random 10-year-olds, who were, aspiring to be, like, on their middle school team, he was giving the same instruction to some of the NBA players.
And no, it
was
it's super
actually
cool.
Really cool to see it.
This is like, those basketball for dummies or blank for dummies books, but it's a basketball. Like, it's literally like a basketball to help you.
I think it's actually useful. Like, the idea of it is so that you can track the flight of the ball. Because if you just shoot the ball normally, you wouldn't necessarily be able to see the lines and the grooves, depending on what kind of ball you're using. But this ball specifically allows you to track the flight, and like, yeah, I think it would help you improve as a shooter. So, if someone's looking for a Christmas gift idea, no, I'm kidding, but
holiday gift, if you don't celebrate Christmas,
Anyway, so that was cool. That was one of the
things. It was cool. Two things I want to point out about that though is that you had pointed out that the colorway of the basketball that Nick brought is not available at the shop. So this is like an exclusive colorway. Uh-huh. And number two, I told you, because we were right next to them while they were practicing the shooting, I was like, hey, you should capture this footage. Like, I think people want to see it, but you respect Nick Nurse so much. You're like, nah, man. Like, we'll talk about it, but I respect his lessons.
You know what? For me, the most important thing for me is for the Raptors to win, right? That is above all else. So
you don't want to give out state secrets.
I don't want to really give out state secrets, which I guess we're technically doing right here, but not really. Yeah. And then the other thing is, like, he's really in the middle of instructing a player. I don't want to distract from that. I don't want that to, be the focus of what it is. I think me describing
next time,
it's
next time
fun.
Pass me the phone so I can take a video then.
Well, you have your own phone. I don't know why I got to pass you my phone, but anyway, so.
I don't have his number. So the other thing is that Bobby Webster dressed like me yesterday.
Oh, yeah. This one we should have pulled the phone out for. This is our bad, actually. So we're waiting at practice. Again, like, when you go to OVO, there's a reporter room where there's no microphones and people complain about you can't hear the reporter questions or whatever. But there's the actual gym itself where obviously there's like, three full courts and, players are warming up or whatever. We're limited to like the sideline of that, right? Because, just... unless you're supposed to be in there, you really shouldn't be in there, right? So you wait on the side. And we're waiting on the side. We're waiting for Yuta to come out. He's obviously a diligent worker. He was getting extra shots up. And then he was helping Gary get extra shots up. Like, he wasn't even shooting. He was just passing the ball to Gary.
He was me at the park with you.
Yeah.
When you were getting warmed up for the tournament.
He was an assistant coach for a while. And then he was even just doing drills by himself. And I'm thinking, like, Yuta, man, come on. It can't be this bad to be interviewed.
Come
by
on,
me.
Yuta, man. Interview of the century is waiting for you.
Actually,
like, let's get it done.
2:30 p.m.
So Bobby Webster comes out.
No, out
of his office, right?
Well, someone comes out of the office, except we didn't know who it was because he was dressed in a crew neck sweater, a red Raptors sweater, and he had this, like, hat on.
Like a size 8 New Era cap.
Okay, all right. Come on, man. He's not me.
And I couldn't tell who he was because he was... because he was walking a bit far away from us.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But it kind of just looked like a child had walked out.
Yeah. So I think some of the other reporters and ourselves, we were marveling at it. and one of us called him a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It wasn't us. And
he came up to give us fist bumps as well.
Yeah, he gave us
fist bumps. Shout out Bobby, man.
I love how you have to point out that he gave us fist bumps.
No. Bobby's always showing me love, and I know what it is.
Bobby's like, which one's Will?
Nah,
which one's Alex?
Come on, man.
I'm just kidding.
He knows me.
Bobby, come on the show. So, and then, yeah, Bobby swung back and was like, damn, like, I look 12? I can't wear a hat?
No.
So BW hat coming soon. NN hats are out. BW hats are in.
By the way, I was going to say, the more devastating thing was not that he looked 12, but he looked like he was cosplaying Alex.
Yeah. No, he
looked
like
that's often
me.
How Alex dresses.
Yeah. So. It's not often. It's every day.
Every day, yeah.
Yeah,
you're dressed on, like that right now.
I put on my size 8 New Era cap. Yeah. A vintage sweater. You know, pants from Uniqlo. Sponsor the pod. Anyways, so I haven't been here the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't really have a good reason. I was just giving you good guess. Anyways, I had to skip Tuesday's game against the Grizzlies instead of watching Dylan Brooks make Scotiabank Arena his new home.
Yeah, 5 of 18. He built a whole brick house with that home.
Evil Danny Green, aka Dylan Brooks. I was at a launch party for the Raptors merch collab of the year, a Boba Raptors collection by CCYA and Mitchell & Ness. CCYA is the Canadian Chinese Youth Athletic Association. They're a registered nonprofit organization, and their main objectives is to promote sports, fair play, and a sense of community for youths across the GTA. CCYA was established in 1995 and organizes a range of programs and events. They've got over 2,000 participants annually. My 9 and 7-year-old nephews are in the CCYA program. They go to basketball camps and things of that nature. And, you know, this drop happened yesterday morning, and it sold out within minutes. It's got the Raptors logo. He's holding a milk tea, a bubble tea. So I thought we'd have CCYA co-founder Clement Chu join us on the line to talk a little bit about this. Clement, what's the update for people? Because everybody missed out on this drop, and now they're asking about it.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Will. Yeah, it was honestly kind of surprising to us. Like, in the past, we have worked with Mitchell & Ness to get some of the jerseys, like the McGrady Chinese jersey, out to the community. And yeah, those sold out as well, but this was shocking. Like, you're talking over 500 units in a course of less than 7 minutes. That was pretty amazing for a nonprofit to kind of pull that off. So we are working on the restock. We're getting updates as it comes in, but if they visit the site, ccyaa.org, go to the shop area, they can fill in the email, and we'll let them know as soon as we get the restock.
For sure. So, Clement, I would love to hear about just the process of how this Mitchell & Ness collab came together, and also just what your vision was of doing a Boba-themed, Raptors merch.
Right. And this is sort of a space that has always been very exciting to me, because going back to 2003, when the Raptors signed Monk Batur, we had talked to Raptors about, hey, that Chinese player, like, have you ever thought about maybe making a Chinese jersey? And they're like, nah, you guys figure something out. And what we did was we did these bootleg T-shirts, which had, you know, Raptors in Chinese on the chest. And it was all the Raptors colors and stuff. And then we just put them on the volunteers when we brought Monk Batur to Pacific Mall to do his meet and greet. And people were like, where'd you get that T-shirt? And so in the back of my head, I kind of shelved it and said, I think there's potentially a market for this. And eventually you've seen the NBA has, you know, adopted, you know, this type of uniform format for a lot of the Chinese New Year games, Houston, Golden State, even in Toronto at one point. And so Mitchell & Ness started dropping Chinese-themed merchandise probably for the past 5-6 years. And we've been a partner in sort of promoting that in our community, because it does have a sense of pride with your own culture mixed in with your love for basketball. But this year was a little different, because we know that with all the focus on some of the social issues that we had, specifically in the Asian community, Mitchell & Ness Canada really wanted to give us that opportunity to do something special this year. And so we paneled a bunch of young people from our community and say, what does being Asian American mean to you? And people said things like ramen. People said things like, Lunar New Year and all this different stuff. But one of the things that was the common thread was boba. And I know that's more of an American term. We call it more like bubble tea here. But bubble tea or boba was something that universally the kids just, they love it. And it's not just a drink, but it's a lifestyle. You know, people go out, they hang out, they drink it much like you would ask a friend to go out to Starbucks and have a espresso with you. So we integrated that with the Raptor, ran it through with, MLSC, with the NBA, and with Mitchell and Ness, and they were very supportive, and we got out the door, and that's sort of the genesis of the Bova Raptor.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, as Clement mentioned, if you go to www.ccya.org/shop right now, you can go on the wait list and check out the merch. And all proceeds from the sale from the Bova Raptor merchandise goes towards CCYA's ongoing efforts to promote physical activity and representation in sports for young people in the community. You know, at the launch party, I know you talked a little bit about, you know, all of this stuff, but I want, especially because obviously this is the Raptor show and maybe there are people listening who don't know about CCYA. You know, I know this is a super long story, Clement, but I'd love kind of a brief summary if you could tell the listeners just about CCYA's connection to the Raptors dating back to their inaugural season in 1995.
Yeah, absolutely. So we basically, when the Raptors launched, they're like, okay, we need to find a new fan base because the Leafs have got basically all of Toronto. So where do you find new fans? Children and people from multicultural heritage. And they came across our organization. Great. Cross-section, right? So we literally started a partnership with them where we would run grassroots basketball programs such as Bell Raptor Ball and things like that. And slowly we just started working with them on different elements of the organization. For instance, we were actually the first organization that worked in partnership with them to deliver a cultural heritage night. So before a lot of this Italian night, Greek night, all that stuff, we were actually the first NBA team to do a cultural heritage night. So this was back in like 96, 97 with the Denver Nuggets and Sky Dome. We did a Chinese night. We're also the first group to ever do a regular season broadcast for a few years in Chinese. So we actually had myself and a couple individuals sitting courtside for a lot of the games during the Vince Carter era, calling the games in Cantonese. So we did that for about 3 or 4 years. And then we've also done stuff like a weekly magazine show with Omni and Fairchild back in the day. But this type of partnership was always what the overarching theme was, promoting sports in the Chinese community, getting kids excited about it. And ultimately, we figured that they would participate as a result of wanting to be fans of the NBA. And that was sort of the formula that we worked with the Raptors. And it spanned throughout MLSC because it wasn't just with Raptors. We eventually did work with the Marlies, the Leafs, TFC, almost every brand within that organization. They've been very progressive about giving us those opportunities to showcase sports to kids in our community.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, given the success of this Mitchell and S collab, do you think this opens up opportunities to maybe do more, maybe do it like, you know, annually? I know I'm already thinking ahead, but just want to know what you think about it.
Absolutely. And I think that what this does, and I know other teams have done stuff like this, but I think the opportunity is you can find opportunities of representation in sort of apparel and things that you're passionate about, like such as sports, to kind of integrate the two so that it really becomes something that you own, and that when you're wearing a piece of apparel or you're out there, like there's a real sense of pride beyond just cheering for your team. You're like, this is my team because they understand my community. They want to be a part of me. And Toronto, obviously being the biggest multicultural market in North America, like I think there's such a huge opportunity for that, even beyond say the Asian community. I think just for the broader multicultural community in general.
Yeah, no, I love that. How about next time we have them hold a bowl of congee? That was my idea, okay. Clement. You can take that one for free if you want.
Well, the joke is that, I'm spilling a little beans here, but Ray Chow, who's the longtime therapist on the Raptors, we had jokingly pitched to Chris Bosch once. We were having Chinese food on Spadina and Dundas, and there was an open spot around U of T, and we're like, hey, what if we get that spot and opened up a congee spot? Chris, you want to come in with us? And he's like, yeah, what's that about? We're like, we'll call it Big Bosch's congee. And he's like, all right. But then he got traded. But I don't actually know if he would have did it. But he understood the concept. He was very food adventurous when he was here. Ray would take him out for all sorts of funky type of food. And there's definitely opportunities. We just got to look for them.
No, I love that, man. Appreciate you, Clement. You know, I know I told you at the event, but I just want to say it again. You know, you're one of the best people I've had a chance to get connected with in the Chinese and basketball space. And, you know, I really do kind of admire you and then look up to you for everything that you do for the Chinese community. And, you know, like we had superfan Nav Bhatia on earlier this week. And I know, you know, the Raptors always, you know, highlight fans like him or like, you know, Max Kerman of the Arkells. But, you know, I wanted to spotlight Clement Chu, man. They should have you up there, too, because you've been doing this since day one and you do so much for the community. So congrats on this Boba Raptors launch. And I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So ccya.org/shop. Go there for the wait list. If you want to know about the restock of the merch. You like the merch too, right?
Oh, the merch is great. The merch is fire, man. I mean, I'm not surprised that it sold out already, but no, I can't believe I went to that Grizzlies game instead of going to this event, to be honest.
Free bubble tea from the alley.
Oh,
it was a great event. That's the first event I ever went to where it's all you can drink bubble tea.
Yeah, that's a little tough actually. I feel like I top out on one, but no, yeah. we have to go to break, but two things. One, the next shirt idea, the raptor, but instead of the claws, it's chicken feet.
Oh my God.
You
shouldn't have shared this publicly because you know somebody's going to do a bootleg. Speaking of things that Chinese people enjoy doing.
No. We're getting past that. Past that stereotype.
Okay, chicken feet, I love. Yeah. I love that.
And then the second thing is Big Bosh Kanji is just killing me. I could not stop laughing.
We don't have time today because we got the interview of the century coming, but I'm going to make a note. We need to circle back on that at some point, okay? We need to do Raptors players and the shops and the restaurants they would open in Chinatown.
All right. So we're gonna need plenty of content for January, February, and stuff based on how things are going. So I think that's a good spot for us to take a break. Before we go to break, though, we are giving away a free pair of tickets for this coming Monday when the Raptors 905 will play their annual game away from Mississauga and at home at the Raptors. They're going to be playing at Scotiabank Arena. So if you're going to be caller number 5 right now at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 *590. And you can watch the Capital City Go-Go NBA G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards take on the Raptors at 11 a.m. on Monday. And just to note, each fan age 12 and older must present proof of full COVID-19 vaccination along with government issue ID at entry gates. Children under the age of 12 must be accompanied by a fully vaccinated adult. If you're not caller number 5 but still want to join the action, search Raptors 905 and purchase tickets through Ticketmaster.ca. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you're listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, when we come back, we bring you the interview of the century with Yuta Watanabe. Let's go. Alex, you know what makes watching a Raptors game even better?
Watching Fred VanVleet play 48 minutes every game?
No, man, I'm talking about having the perfect spread of delicious food.
Oh, yeah. I love supporting my local restaurants on game nights.
That's right, and our friends at DoorDash connect you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door.
Oh, we're talking about DoorDash. I love DoorDash, man. First of all, it's so convenient. You can get whatever you want delivered right to your door.
I love you're always surprised when we talk about DoorDash, but I know you also love to eat. So what are you ordering during the game?
I'm feeling adventurous this week. So I think I'm going to order a steak for breakfast, sausage, eggs, and toast for lunch, and a bubble tea for dinner.
No, but seriously, the bubble tea is not dinner.
I can't help it. With DoorDash, ordering food is so easy.
Ordering is so easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. Plus, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code THEFAN25. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Welcome back to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu, joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. As we have teased multiple times already today and yesterday as well, we had a chance to speak with Yuta Watanabe at Raptors practice on Wednesday. So here's the interview. Joining us at practice is Raptors forward Yuta Watanabe. First off, how's your calf feeling? You got up to 29 minutes in the Grizzlies game. Are you feeling all good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, a little bit sore this morning. Okay. But it's getting better, though.
That's good. So the Raptors are on a bit of a losing slide right now. What's Nick's message to you guys on how you guys can turn it around?
I mean, we competed, we played hard, but at the same time, we had lot of like little mistakes, especially like now, like OG Gary came out, like we have to be like almost perfect in the game plan. So you know, we watched the film a lot today, and you know, we just gotta keep learning from it, and we gotta fix it.
Now, a lot of people say Knicks defense is hard to play. What are some of the key differences that you notice in Knicks defense as compared to other coaches that you played under?
I'm gonna keep it secret.
You keep it secret.
I'm not gonna tell you guys that.
Well, is there one thing that you at first when you were trying to learn it? Because a lot of coaches have said over the years, and I was doing a lot of research about this, that a lot of coaches have said like you execute things perfectly. You're like a mistake-free player. But for you to get to that point, how much studying did you have to do to get to the point where you were comfortable in this defense?
I mean, a lot. You know, I watch film a lot with a lot of coaches. Even though when I'm playing, I always pay attention to like what the coverage is or like what they're doing, stuff like that. So if you don't like really focus it, you lose it. Like you will not know, like, cause like we're gonna like change a lot of coverage, even throughout the game. So you always have to lock in, and you always have to focus on what's going on the court.
So for you, like, the defense has been something that you were praised for, you know, in college and then in the league as well, and in the G League and everything like that. How much time do you sort of devote to that end in terms of like focusing and really how do you practice your defense? Is it more watching film and sort of understanding everything, or is it also on the court and doing drills and things like that?
I don't know, to be honest. You know, when I was in Japan, I wasn't that good defender. I was just taller and a little bit quicker than other guys, but I didn't have like good footwork or anything. I was just blocking shots. And okay. When I came to US, you know, like they were like taller, faster, stronger than me, so I had to play defense at a higher level in order for me to play in the game. But I don't know how I got like so much better compared to when I was in Japan, like when I came here.
Okay, well, you know, I asked you about your defense, you know, during the Memphis win, and I asked you about the Dylan Brooks block where you said you would jump 100 times out of 100. I mean, since then, I mean, you know, you took a charge on Jaylen Brown that was also initially called the wrong way, but Nick used the challenge on you. It seems like Nick has really gone out of his way to reward defensive style players, and I think you're definitely one of those guys. Have you felt that support from coach on that front?
Yeah, definitely. Like we always talk about you know, how important defense is, and I think Coach Nick is a coach that, you know, always you know, value on the defense and like reward those who, you know, play hard on defensive end. So I mean, I think that's why I got a lot of minutes yesterday. And I just got to, you know, keep defending.
Right, right. Now, last thing on the team before we move to something else. We talked to Fred earlier this month, and he told us that he really likes you, but he's also really hard on you. What's your relationship like with Fred?
Yeah, just like that. I think we have a really good relationship. That's why, like, he doesn't like really hesitate to tell me anything. You know, when I do like something bad on the call, he always like cuts me out and stuff. But I'm a good listener.
Okay.
When he says something, he's always right. So I always listen to him, and he's an amazing player, amazing leader. So I just, you know, trying to learn everything from him. So I really appreciate that I have a teammate like Fred.
Well, I mean, you know, is his story of being undrafted to getting to where he is that something that resonates with you, also an undrafted player?
Well, for sure. Yeah, he's, I know, like, how hard to be like that from like undrafted and went to G League, stuff like that. So I really respect what he have done and what he will, you know, continue doing that.
Now you said that sometimes he'll cuss you out over mistakes. Do you ever talk back to him?
No.
Really?
I'm trying not to.
Come on.
It's not gonna end though. If I talk back to him, he's gonna cuss me out more. So when he says something, I just always say like, okay, yeah, thank you, or stuff like that. I'm not gonna, you know, I try not to talk back.
Okay, that's fair, that's fair. And I wanted to shift over to talking more about you in particular and about your background and just letting the listeners know about you. So tell us how you grew up. You know, you grew up in the Kagawa Prefecture. You're from Miki. What was that like? It was a very small town, right?
Small town, really small town. Nothing really to do. So yeah. I grew up playing a lot of basketball. And my parents used to be a professional player in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they were also my coach. So I just grew up playing a lot of basketball.
So what was the childhood home like? Like, was it like a bigger property and then you were able to sort of a lot of space to play basketball or?
Not really.
No?
Didn't have much space. So my elementary school was like 5 minutes walk.
Oh, okay.
And they have big ground. So I always practice outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. So you mentioned about your parents, you know, like your dad played pro, your mom played for a pro. She was on the national team. Your sister's a pro as well. Like, did you know from an early age that like this was just what you were going to do? Basketball, or did they push you in this direction, or it was mostly
they didn't push me. I think for me, just like naturally started playing basketball. I didn't really think to play any other sports. I think that was like really like natural for me to like start playing basketball.
Right. I was also reading your Players Tribune piece, and you wrote about these two things. And I'm sorry, I do not speak Japanese, but I'll give it my best shot here. Shoshin and Kenkyo, what do those two words mean to you?
Shoshin means, it's like, I don't have to explain it. So,
in the piece, you said beginner's mind.
So like that, beginner's mind. So I always want to make sure that I don't forget the beginner's mind, which was like, you know, like when I started playing basketball, like that was when I was six. I always enjoying it, like no matter like missing shots or like, you know, turnovers, like it doesn't matter. Like I was always enjoying basketball. So I, you know, when I get to this level, like, you know, I feel like a lot of pressures and, you know, and a lot of things going on, but I always make sure the first thing is like, I wanna enjoy basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenkyo is just be humble. And I think that's who I am. And, you know, just trying to be a humble guy.
And you are a really humble guy, but I really want to ask you, how hard is it to stay humble when you're literally in the NBA? Like, I imagine if you go home to Japan, for example, you're like a megastar. Even here, like, you are a very recognizable name and you have a lot of people holding, you know, signs with your name and wearing your jersey. How hard is it for you to stay humble?
Well, I think it's not that hard for me. My parents always, you know, teach me, you know, how important to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
My coaches I had, told me same thing. So, even though like I'm in NBA and a lot of people recognize me, like it's not really hard for me to be humble.
Okay, well, that's good. Is there such a thing as also being too humble sometimes? Because I remember reading your piece and you talked about how, you know, you shared the story about your parents once was telling somebody that, quote, you had a long way to go in terms of making the NBA. And when you heard that, that really hurt you, even though you kind of understood that they were just trying to be humble in terms of talking to their friends.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a part of the Japanese culture.
Okay.
You know, so parents don't really like say like my son's good or like my, you know,
no bragging.
Yeah. Okay. So they don't really do that. You know, when I came to US, like one thing I really surprised was like the parents was like always be like, hey, my son's great. And like, he's like best player on the court. Like, you know, like, and I liked it. I was like, oh, this is like a lot different from Japan.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, I didn't tell, like, my parents to be like that, but at least, like, not to say anything like, you know, like, I'm far away from NBA or stuff like that.
Right, right. That's really interesting, because you know what? You're right, actually. Most basketball parents are like, I guess, LeVar Ball. You know LeVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not uncommon, right?
Right.
There's a lot of those. So that's very interesting. It's a very different approach. Now, I want to ask you, for professional athletes, like, health is everything, and obviously you've just been away a little bit. Physically, we know that you have world-class trainers here and doctors, you know, like Alex McKechnie and everything with the Raptors. But mentally, who is your support system? You know, when you start to feel a little bit of doubt, who is there to pick you up?
I guess my best friend back home.
Okay. Shout him out. Come on. Let people know. Maybe he's listening.
Yeah, his name is Ryusu Ikusumoto.
Okay.
He's coaching high school right now. We went to the same high school. It's called Jinsei High School. And since then, he's been my best friend.
Wow. Okay, that's nice. So how much do you guys stay in contact with each other? You know, does he, like, watch all your games and give you, like, does he text you, like, hey, you know, like, you should have taken this shot or, you know, good play here or whatever?
Yeah. Somehow he watched every game.
That's difficult, right?
Yeah, he's also a teacher, too. So he's teaching.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
High school students while I'm playing. So, okay. I don't know how he always watching the game. Somehow he find time to, you know, watch some games, and he always give me advice, and I really appreciate it.
No, that's real dedication, because it's probably like 7 a.m. or very, very early when you guys play. Before we wrap up, I wanted to hit you with some lighter topics, some rapid fire. First off, who were some of the players that you studied while you were coming up?
I mean, my favorite player was Kobe Bryant, but when I was in college and when I tried to be like NBA player, like I watched a lot of Joe Ingles clip.
Joe Ingles?
Yeah.
I mean, because you guys both lefties?
Same lefty, same height.
Okay.
He got the, like, even though he's like 6'9", he got the, like, guard skills. Mm-hmm. So I watched a lot of his clip.
Interesting. That's a really good pick. I heard Tayshaun Prince was also something that you followed, you know, when you were in Memphis a little bit.
Yeah.
Also
not
a lefty.
He was an assistant GM, so.
Right. That makes sense. Who has the best fashion on the Raptors? You aside, of course. We've seen
best
you with
what?
Best fashion.
Best fashion?
Yeah.
Not except for me.
Oh yeah, of course. We've seen you win some really nice sweaters of late.
I'd say Gary.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary has a lot of fashion. He loves Bape.
Yeah.
He loves Bape. Every game he's in Bape. Who has the worst music on the team?
Worst music? It could be me.
Really?
Wait,
so you take the aux cord and you start playing? What are you playing?
I don't know. I just listen to whatever they listen to. I don't really have a favorite song.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know.
you don't take the aux cord and then start playing, like, Japanese music and stuff like that?
No, I don't do that.
You should, honestly. I just love to see the reaction to that, honestly. Who gave you the Bobby Webster nickname? Because I think this was revealed in a press conference one time last year. I'm not saying it's right, but it is kind of funny to me. Who gave you this nickname?
I can't remember. Maybe that was Kalo.
It sounds like Kyle.
Yeah.
It sounds like Kyle. What's your favorite way to celebrate after you've had a really good game?
Eat good food.
Like ramen, for example?
Yeah, ramen, yeah. For sure.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that, because this is a question on everybody's mind. While, earlier this season, when we first talked at training camp, I briefly mentioned we should go for ramen sometime.
Yeah.
Now, that was mostly a joke, but the fans have started to take this, and, it's spreading like wildfire. This is a movement we can't stop. You know, a Raptor fan asked you earlier this season if you would go to have ramen with me, and you said you don't have my number, which is understandable. You don't have my number. Then, when we talked to Fred here in the same office, I gave Fred a card with my number on it. I'm not sure if he passed it on to you, but... Not yet. Okay,
not
okay.
Yet.
Well, officially, Yuta, now that I have you under pressure, will you go to ramen with me?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
I love ramen, so, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure, yeah.
No, I've seen you go to Ramen Ishin multiple times.
Yeah.
I remember recommending that to you. So, all right. There you go. Officially, Alex is here as well as my witness. You will have agreed to go to ramen with me.
Yeah.
Okay. No, publicly, we should just. No, I'm kidding.
Do it on air.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Yuta, thank you so much for your time, honestly.
Thank you.
Thanks for, sharing this perspective with us, and we'd love seeing you on the court, and just best of luck on the season.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, so you finally asked him officially to go for ramen.
Yeah. Do you like the setup question, by the way? I was like, hey, what's your favorite way to celebrate after a win? And he's like,
some good ramen.
I was like, oh, like some ramen? And then,
I also like you asking him how big his apartment is, you know?
I just wanted to know. I'm just
You're
curious,
like, what's
man?
The square footage like?
Okay, all right.
But listen, the ramen thing. You didn't give him your number.
I don't have his number. He still doesn't have my number.
Why didn't you pass him your number?
Okay, so first off, he's like just finished practice. He doesn't have his phone on him.
What am I going to do? Why didn't you have that slip of paper this time?
I should have done that.
That's my bad.
You know what? That's your right. That's right.
You know what? That's my bad.
That's usually your job as the producer, to hand out the numbers so that people can speak.
You're right. You know what? That's on me. Yeah. I'm putting my hand up right now. That's on me.
Unbelievable.
It's like when Chris Boucher makes a defensive mistake right when he checks in. You know,
we don't talk about that.
It's on me. But now we have to interview him again, I guess.
Well,
because we have to get him your number.
As I told you right before we like started recording, I was like, you know, this is the third time I've like exclusively interviewed, and he's like, oh, yeah, really? And I was like, it's like, wait, what was the third time? And I was like, oh, last year in Tampa, we did it 15 minutes on Zoom where you revealed things like he loves playing Smash Bros. And his main character is Fox.
And he brought a rice cooker. Did he tell you that? Or was that he told everybody?
Oh, he told like.
This was like on a Zoom probably, right?
No, I think he was on like a Sportsnet promo kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, like one of those little phasal videos.
And he said he brought a rice cooker to Tampa, right?
Yes. And then I asked him about that as well.
All right. So the Rama saga won't end. As some people might have seen, Utah went to Ramen Ishin yesterday.
Yeah, I think I gave him the idea. I was like, hey, you want to go to Ramen? Utah's like, I do want to go to Ramen.
And then he went. If you gave him your number, he probably would have texted you.
I was too busy doing the show, man. What do you want, man?
All right, man. This is my fault.
Yeah, you're right. It is your fault.
I'll take care of it. Utah, clearly a humble guy. I mean, you asked him
super humble,
he stays so humble.
Yep.
I want to know, how do you stay so humble?
I mean, I stay a lot less humble than Utah, and I have a lot more reason to be humble than
Utah. Well, you have a big head, like, literally.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I stay humble because, like, none of this stuff is real.
Okay.
Cloud is not real. Like, yeah. People, like,
Cloud's
you
real.
Know,
yeah.
Like, I think what's real is, like, you know, what you have in your heart and, like, the love that people give you and how earnest you are, but the rest of it is not really that real.
Damn,
man.
This guy's earnest and young right now.
Yeah.
You are earnest and you're young.
Okay.
Yeah. This is me looking at the clock. There's 5 minutes to kill.
All right.
Hey,
man.
You want to hear about the time I went for deep dish pizza in Chicago?
Wow, what a wild story that one
so,
was.
So big reveal. Yeah. Let's not bury the lead. You asked him because a teammate called him Bobby Webster last year, right? Like,
yeah.
We found this out.
Yes.
And you said, it's not right, but
you know what?
It's pretty funny.
It's in that.
We can say that because we're Asian, honestly.
Sure, I guess.
That's really.
No, you know what it is? It's in that like Rush Hour style of humor. I'm like, none of these, all of these are offside.
So you mean completely inappropriate?
But yeah. I'm just going to pretend like VAR didn't see it.
Yeah, offside, yeah. Like when Liverpool is struggling.
Not this season.
So it was Kyle Lowry, which to nobody's surprise, I think, in this room.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I was also not surprised at what Utah said about Fred, because Fred told us in his interview that, you know, he's hard on Utah and he cusses him out all the time.
And Utah specifically said he cusses me out whenever I do anything bad on the court.
So he doesn't talk back to Fred? Come on, man. So Fred, he's like, oh, I was on him about missing a layup. And I was like, really? You?
All I'm saying is...
Of all people, missing layups, Fred. Anyway.
What do you want Utah to pull out the stats from cleaning the glass?
Fred's like, actually, according to my calculations, you're shooting a 39% from within the 3 feet of the basket in the last three seasons. Can you care to comment on this, Mr. Fred?
First of all, Mr. Fred is going to be his new nickname. Mr. Fred is insane. But if he's going to yell at Utah for making mistakes, I've got a long list of other players that he should be focusing on yelling at.
Yeah.
In terms of mistakes.
You know what, honestly, well, first off, we all know that this is like a good-hearted kind of thing.
And
I think the other thing is like you put in that effort to sort of like help and sort of keep guys in line when you really see potential in them. And, like, it's actually really evident when you watch the games and stuff like that. Like, the team really gravitates towards what Utah does. You know, he's just a positive, you know, guy. I mean, like I said yesterday, remember we were waiting for him to come over and do the interview. He was just, like, doing passing. He was, like, an assistant coach for Gary Trent Jr. Just to get him extra shots up. Because he knows Raptors going to need Gary if they have any chance of beating the Bucks tonight.
No, guaranteeing the victory. Yeah, I think when you talk about development of this team, and I know as the season moves on, if the Raptors don't get back into any form of a playoff race, we're going to focus on development. You have to throw Utah Watanabe into the positives because he was a G League player, like you mentioned, undrafted, really a question mark when he joined the Raptors organization. And now, you know, he's been a huge positive. Before we go, though, I know we have about 60 seconds. You know, we play these sports quizzes all the time. So this week, people have been posting their Spotify Wrapped playlist, basically most listened to artists of the year.
Yep.
I want to know if you can guess my top five artists. You just have to get two of them right.
Your top five artists?
Yep.
I actually genuinely don't know what music you listen to.
It's all hip hop.
I know your top podcast is Raptors Over Everything.
Yeah, for sure. So, and the Raptors beat.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the Raptor Show with Will Liu. But so, wow. Top five artists, can you guess?
MC Jin.
No. Okay, keep going.
I'm calling you Bobby Webster right now.
Keep going.
Drake, I don't know, man.
Yeah, Drake's number two.
Drake's number two. Yep. That's pretty good. I don't know, man.
Come on, he performed on opening night.
Oh, Lupe?
Lupe Fiasco, number four, yeah.
Okay. I don't know, honestly. I genuinely right, don't enough. Know what music you listen to.
Jay-Z was number one, Drake number two.
Jay-Z was number one in 2021.
I still listen to Reasonable Doubt. Drake's number two, Nas number three, Lupe Fiasco number four.
Maybe I could have guessed this. Damn.
And DMX number five.
Wow, rest in peace.
Once again, proof that you don't know me.
There we go. Well, that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks again to Clement Chu, Yuta Watanabe, and my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, and we will talk to you tomorrow. And finally, a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code TheFan25. Fuel up for tip-off, order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash, delicious, delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.